Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, a scenario for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1992's Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Today we're discussing page 8 of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico. Someday I'll start saying it faster. These are early days. I'm getting my reps in. The introduction continues today, and once again, I have nothing to say about the text. It's all spoilers, but fortunately, there is an illustration, and if you head over to patreon.com/megadumbcast, you can find a public post available to everyone with a visual companion for today's episode featuring a picture of just the goofiest motherfucker. But this is a different kind of goofy. This is anime goofy. And you know, my familiarity with anime is very weak. If it were better, maybe I wouldn't recognize this as anime style, because like anime doesn't generally look like this anymore. But what we have here is a picture of a guy in kind of a bush pilot type of outfit. He's got like the hat and like the bandana, and he's got the open jacket with like the t-shirt underneath. And he's got his cross necklace on. He's holding a rifle. And he has this scruffy face and skinny neck that I can't convey in words any other way than if there were a silly late 80s anime about the adventures of young Popeye, that's what this looks like. Or like if there were an episode of Newsles where some kind of koala hunter came to town and tried to catch the koalas, maybe he would look like this. A very goofy late 80s, early 90s anime look. Now, this look could be the dumbest thing on this page on its own strength. In its own right. It's a very, very goofy look. But I want to dig a little bit deeper into context, because we see this goofy motherfucker right here in the context of what is clearly a player character group. There are these three characters in the foreground, and then in the background, there's like the looming face of the fucking shirtless poser from the cover. So when you've got the bad guy looming overhead and looking down at three armed people, generally speaking, those three people are like your player characters. They're the protagonists. They're the adventurers in this story. Now, the art on these three characters all taken together reminds me more of the way that one would draw like a werewolf pack in their human form in Werewolf the Apocalypse. Unfortunately, like I want to be clear, it's because one of them is like pretty clearly native coded. Usually with White Wolf, that's a dead giveaway. There's some werewolf somewhere in the vicinity or maybe a dream speaker. I wouldn't necessarily approve of this vibe if these were werewolf characters, but I would get it. I would understand what each kind of character represents, what they're going for. As vampires, I have a hard time understanding this group, and especially the person in question, this Popeye-looking, skinny-necked motherfucker over on the right. It's just very confusing, because you don't really associate like the bush pilot or like the jungle guide or that kind of character, or the like scrappy, kind of scrawny soldier of fortune type who goes along on, you know, an expedition into the ruins of whatever. Those don't really seem like vampire archetypes to me, because number one, those jobs seem to me like usually they're not full-on protagonist jobs. Usually those are like supporting character jobs. But secondly, a vampire especially like is not going to be a bush pilot or like a guide who brings people out to different places in the jungle. Like it's very hard for a vampire to go out into the wild with a tour group. People generally don't want to go sightseeing in the woods at night. Unfortunately for opportunistic vampires everywhere. Between that and the fact that this guy just looks like a sort of apprehensive, I don't know, he's got that like that vague look of worry, that ever-present perturbability. There's a little something of Charlie Brown about it. I don't know. My point is, he doesn't read to me as a vampire. He reads to me as a character that vampires would work with, like a ghoul or a local that they would employ. And I think that's part of what makes him the dumbest thing in this page. The design is just goofy on its own, but it seems to me as though the implication is there are going to be non-vampire helpers going with the vampires on this adventure, which is brutal, even for a vampire. If the plan is that we're going to like hire local people or like bring a ghoul, or maybe one of us would even play like a local guide who gets in over his head, things are not going to go well for anime Popeye. Spoilers, if you are teenage anime Popeye, do not go anywhere near this adventure. There is not enough spinach in the world to save your soul from what is about to transpire. I don't know, like this book won't tell me whether I'm meant to have hirelings as like part of an adventuring party. This is the very beginning of a thing we're going to see again and again in this book, which is this book seems to have a lot of assumptions, even more so than Alien Hunger, from like a traditional dungeon crawl type of story. And so sometimes I feel like I'm missing something. You know, like I see this illustration, I'm like, is it just assumed that I'm going to have this like hanger on to like carry my pack and like tend to the animals, you know, feed the horses outside the dungeon entrance or whatever the fuck we're going to get into? Is that why this guy is here? Or is this just like a real sad, long, skinny neck vampire? It's just like a genre of vampire I've never run into before. I don't know who this group that we're playing, I don't know who we are meant to be, I guess. I will tell you who we're going to be. We're going to be Vampire Drama Club. We are going to be hooking Vampire Drama Club into this plot and following them through this story. And some of them, like Sir Bloodworth, Flash, they're all set for taking on the vampire equivalent of orcs and winning the vampire equivalent of treasure in the vampire equivalent of dungeons. Others in our group, like Marcus, who makes a living selling little figurines of guys like teenage anime Popeye here. With Marcus, we got like a squirrely, awkward, thin mustache guy, anime fan, kind of antisocial. I don't know how he's going to fare in this situation, so we'll find out. But I'll tell you one more thing. In this picture, these three characters are depicted with a rifle and Uzi, and the native coded one has a knife, of course, but also a handgun. Marcus doesn't have shit like that. I mean, in a few years, he'll probably buy a gun blade. I know that looking back from the future. But as of right now, I don't think Marcus has gun one to bring to this adventure. And we'll see how it goes for Marcus. If the wide-eyed trepidation on the face of young anime Popeye is any indication of what Marcus is going to face, maybe this is not going to go great. That does it for the introduction. Join me next time for Chapter 2, Diablerie, a discussion, drink and drink, why the hell not, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, visit patreon.com/megadumbcast. This season's theme song is Tequila Moonrise by Tequila Moonrise. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.